CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor with my colleague Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek and The Hill. And we're very pleased to welcome Professor Kerry Gershanik, the author of, most recently, To Win Without Fighting, Defining China's Political Warfare. Win Without Fighting. Where have I heard this, Gordon? Doesn't this sound like ancient Chinese proverb, to win without fighting? Kerry, a very good evening to you. Your book is available on the Marine Corps University Press website for free. The PDF is ready. What in here tells us that we don't need to worry about the fleet, that China can be bested without fighting? Good evening to you.
Well, what that book tells us is that they're going to defeat us if we don't get a whole lot better at detecting and then developing the means to deter and then defeat the Chinese Communist Party political warfare against us. The book defines how they're going about destroying our unity, how they're going about dividing us, demoralizing us, and undermining our capability to even know that we're under attack. That's the benefit of the book. It gives two case studies, one for Taiwan and one for Thailand. But basically, it describes in detail and gives recommendations in detail on how to confront the PRC's political warfare. And they're winning right now, incidentally. We are not.
The political warfare, where would we see it? Is there an example you can give us, Kerry?
You can see it in Hollywood. You can see it in the fact that the People's Republic of China representatives pretty much dictate the vision that America and the world sees as a result of our movies coming out of Hollywood. They depict a benign, a kind, a gentle China, or else Hollywood doesn't get to distribute its movies in China. There's a long history of China political warfare influence in Hollywood. You can see it in Congress. You can see it in members of Congress who have done a great deal to undermine our ability to confront the People's Republic of China. Now, it's good to see on a bipartisan, slightly bipartisan basis that Congress is getting a little more gumption, a little more backbone in confronting PRC political warfare, but it's not systemic. There is no national strategy with the Biden administration right now, and there's no real clear strategy that the resolutions and the legislation from Congress are designed to fulfill. You can see it in the executive branch. You can see it in a State Department that has disgraced itself repeatedly, as I point out in the preface of my book, the political warfare that you've described. We also have generals and admirals, pacifist generals and United Front admirals, I call them, who have basically apologized for or downplayed the PRC threat to our own armed forces, to our own elected officials. So you see the success of the PRC's political warfare routinely throughout those key elements of American society, as well as the business community. And that would take a complete hour just to get introduced into how badly corrupted or co-opted and corrupted our business community has become, reliant as it is on PRC business deals, funding, and in some cases, the Belt and Road Initiative.
Gordon, you have a question for the professor.
Kerry, what would we have to do to win the political warfare with China?
Well, in Chapter 9, I discuss quite a bit of what we need to do. But one is to recognize that we're fighting a war. 20 years ago, almost exactly 20 years ago, there was a guy running around Southwest Asia saying, "I hate you, America. I am going to kill you. I'm going to destroy your country." And our elites, our Department of State, our Department of Defense, pretty much just patted him on the head and said, "Yeah, there. Go along. You wear a towel on your head. You live in a cave and you carry an AK-47. You're no threat." Okay, so fast forward to September 11th, 2001, when we have nearly 3,000 Americans dying pretty hideous deaths in the World Trade Center, the fields of Pennsylvania, and in the Pentagon. And suddenly our elites recognize, oh, no kidding. He said he was at war with us. He was. And now we have to go to war back. Well, that's the situation we're in with the People's Republic of China. We have a large number of our elites in business and news media. Again, we could spend hours and hours discussing the co-option of the American news media by the PRC. But we have so many who are in denial that the PRC is at war with us. China says it's at war with us. China calls it political warfare. They're out to destroy us. They're very clear in what they've been saying. We just have refused to listen and acknowledge and begin to take the steps needed to fight that war.
Is there right now any indication that the Biden administration has changed directions from the Trump administration? That because routinely now, Kerry, I hear people talk about the threat of China and Russia. There was a national security document under Mr. Trump that has not been refuted by Mr. Biden's national security team. Is it better now than it was?
I don't see it. I hear a lot of soothing talk that, President Biden sees the threat, and he's that's why we're pulling out of Afghanistan, and so he can put those assets in the Pacific, the Indo-Asia Pacific region to confront China. What I see is in Alaska, where Jake Sullivan and our Tony Blinken, our national security advisor and our secretary of state, the Chinese mopped the floor with them in Anchorage. They humiliated on American soil our national security advisor and our secretary of state. I see when the deputy secretary of state had to beg to meet anyone of importance, when she begged to fly to China, basically, we let three spies who were sent here to infiltrate our universities, we let them off from prosecution. Pretty clearly, we let them off because there were good cases against them in order for Wendy to get that meeting. And again, she was humiliated there. John Kerry just flew once again to China, his special envoy for President Biden, and was humiliated in China because he wasn't even allowed to meet with the senior leaders there. They had to do a video call, which he could have done from Lansing, Michigan, for crying out loud, and not waste U.S. taxpayer dollars to fly to China once again to stay in a five-star hotel. You get the point. Repeatedly, China is trying to humiliate the United States. They're doing that with the propaganda, incidentally, the propaganda windfall that they achieved with the gift of the Afghanistan route.
Gordon, we have a couple of minutes.
Kerry, as soon as Kabul fell, we saw the propaganda directed against Taiwan, that yep. The U.S. would not defend Taiwan, they were told. And also, there was a propaganda message that the U.S., because it couldn't deal with the Taliban, certainly couldn't counter China. It occurred to me that really what we saw in the aftermath of Kabul, Beijing's first reaction was political warfare, wasn't it?
Immediate response, absolutely. And Gordon, you saw it. I know you saw the same articles I saw in English from Global Times and or the all PLA Daily, all the other propaganda organs. China's central propaganda department could not have imagined a more perfect scenario to prove its narrative that, one, America's in rapid decline. Two, that America's allies and friends can't count on Washington to keep its commitments. And three, as you pointed out, America's military is too weak now to challenge the People's Liberation Army. Basically, Biden and his national security team handed this unprecedented political warfare gift to the Chinese Communist Party, and they are exploiting it for everything it is worth.
Kerry, we just have 30 seconds. Is there a timeline that makes sense to you that it would be too late if we don't move by this such and such a date?
Today, if not last week. Look, China has accelerated its deliberate war planning and its plans for gray zone operations based on the Afghan debacle. It's confident now that it can accelerate those timetables and achieve what it needs to achieve. And according to Xi's fascist totalitarian China dream, by 2049, annexing Taiwan is a major part of that China dream, We need to get really serious about countering PRC political warfare and building the capacity of the United States military to defeat the People's Liberation Army at sea and in the air and on the ground if necessary. And right now, we're far behind in that effort.
Professor Carrie Kirshanek, To Win Without Fighting, Defining China's Political Warfare. You can find it on the Marine Corps University Press website. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.